This, you or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, howdy.
Howdy.
Oh, it's time to go on. So I'm going to start today.
Hi, everybody. It's just Don. Without Mike, without Buzz, without Rob, without Beth Ann and Joe and Travis and everybody else. And bear with me. I'm going to talk about Frida. I'm going to start. This was our song. I'm going to get into this in a second. But it wouldn't be right to start a show about my sweet Frida without our song.
Well, it's been building up inside of me for, oh, I don't know how long. I don't know why, but I keep thinking something's bound to go wrong. But she looks in my eyes and makes me realize that she said, don't worry, baby. Don't worry, baby.
Don't worry, baby.
Everything will turn out all right.
Don't worry, baby.
Don't worry, baby.
Ooh,
I guess I should have kept my mouth shut when I saw you.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and it's, Jesus Christ, 5 weeks since I've been here. It's Monday, and it's August 1st, and you know all that junk. You know, I'm discovering now that this is probably, oh, Jesus, bear with me. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This is going to be harder than giving the eulogy at my wife's funeral. Let me start by saying, the outpouring of emotion for Frida and for my family, yeah, has been overwhelming. And I thank you for that. And my family thanks you for that. And let's start today's show. We'll talk about Frida for a little while. I want to talk to you, you guys, the listeners. Not as Don Geronimo. This is Mike Source talking to you now. The beauty of my family, my wife, my son, everybody that's in our family, they had no problem, and have no problem, drawing the distinction between the way I am on the radio, excuse me, and the way I am in real life. You know, we do a show. We do a show. I figured out a long time ago, after I heard a guy in Chicago named Steve Dahl, who had his wife on the air, figured what a great way to get people to relate to you, to get people to feel that they know you. And Frieda started coming on the air with me regularly, I don't know, 23, 24 years ago, something like that, even before we were married. When we were engaged, I had her on, but it was just because it was a goofy thing to do. And then we got married, and it became this whole thing of calling my wife, and she was a part of the show. And as Mike said, I think I heard conscience of the show. What you guys should know, first and foremost, was that in real life, not radio life, not what you heard on the radio, in real life, my wife and I had a true love affair. I adored her. And she me. One of the questions that we would get asked, and I don't mean to offend anybody here, any Orientals, no offense, Bill Parcells. At the Christmas party last year, the boss's wife walked up to my wife, never met her before, and said, how could you be married to him? Well, that pissed Frieda off, and that pissed me off. And I know there's probably some of you out there listening who wonder the same thing. The reason that Frieda stayed married to me, and I'm not the big mouth, braggart, jerk, bully in real life that I am on the radio. I will go back to playing that role tomorrow. There is a very thin line on this radio show when it came to my life and what we would live out on the air. Between reality and fiction. I can't tell you how many times Frieda and I would get in what you guys would perceive as an argument, a disagreement. She's putting me in my place. I'm mad about something. We go through something. You know, there's a little truth in everything. But what you guys never knew was, and a lot of times, we would leave it, you know, she would not pick the phone back up. And I would go, oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Let's go to break. And you'd be thinking, oh, listen to that jerk. Like, what kind of jerk is that? I mean, I'll let you behind the scenes. The hotline would ring. It would be Frieda. And she'd say, boy, we had a good one. I mean, it's a show. It's a show. There were things about our conversations that were true. And there were things that were exaggerations. The reason that I chose to bring up and occasionally exaggerate the rough spots being married to someone for, it'll be 24 years on Sunday, is you would not listen to a show in which I was going to talk about my life, and it was going to be a large part of the show every day. If I came in and told you, my life's perfect. My wife is perfect. I have no complaints. You would not listen to that. So let's draw the distinction, okay? When we saw the movie for the first time, As Good As It Gets, we were on vacation in Colorado, it was just the three of us, Bart and Frieda and I. And there's a scene where Helen Hunt says to Jack Nicholson, something like, give me a compliment. And he says to her, you make me want to be a better man. I turned to Frieda and I said, I'm going to sue these people. Because I had said that to her. I don't even know how many years that movie came out, but 4 years. My wife was the single most decent-hearted, kind, sweet, generous person that I will ever meet and that you have had the privilege of listening to. Even when I'm sitting here telling you that I'm not really a jerk like you hear on the radio, I'll tell you this too. I mean this about Frida. There would be nothing that she would not do for someone who asked her. If it was a family member, if it was a friend, just somebody she thought she could help, there is not one time in that woman's life that she ever said no. I can't make that claim. I can't. But she could. Because that's how real a person she was. My son and I are both back with our lives. Because that's the way Frida would have wanted it to be. I had a discussion with my son, who's doing great. And we were talking about how we were going to get through this. And I said to him, you know, if the roles had been reversed, if I had been killed in an auto accident, I would not want you and Mom sitting around on your hands feeling sorry for yourself. I would want her to go on with her career. And she had a million things going. And I would want him to continue with his life. Go back to school, go back to work, go back to his friends. That's what we're doing. That's why I'm here today. Today I'm going to talk to you as me. Not the radio me, but the real me. We're going to sit out a little outline about how the show's going to go starting tomorrow. A lot of people have speculated, oh, the show will change. The show's not going to change. I'm down today because I'm talking about the love of my life. And I'm having a hard time composing myself, so bear with me. Tomorrow I'll have my head on. I'm going to come in, and we're going to do the same type of show that we did. And I'm still going to talk about my life. Because I'm not in the mood to now, and these are not the circumstances, but my life has changed forever. It is a bell that cannot be unrung. And there are things that have happened to me over the last 3 weeks and will continue to happen to me that I think you will find interesting. And I'm not talking about morose stuff. I'm not talking about how awful it is to be a widower. I'm talking about what it's like to go through life. Tomorrow, and I might take some of your calls today. I'm not sure how long I'm going to stay. I'm not sure exactly what I'm doing. But definitely tomorrow, when everybody is back, I would appreciate it if any calls of condolence were not put on the air. Not out of disrespect to my wife, my partner, and the love of my life. But it's just time to move on. Conversely, tomorrow I hope that you also will not bombard us with calls, with kudos for the rest of the cast and crew who did a great job, from what I've heard, over the last couple of weeks, 2.5 weeks. Because again, that's going back. About the show. Somebody said to me, one of these many functions that I've had to go to. Well, gosh, you guys, you make fun of Bob Hope dying.
Yes, that's true.
Bob Hope's a celebrity. We'll still talk about celebrities when they die.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Will you still read a feel-good? You know, that's a story like a Darwin story. Something goes wrong to somebody stupid. Yes. Yes. We'll still read those stories. I'll still laugh at those stories because that's me on the radio doing the show for you. And the me on the radio never once made fun or exploited a tragic situation, a loss of life, an accident, an act of God. So that part of the show just ain't going to change. I hope you guys can draw the distinction again between the show and real life. About Frieda. I knew she was the one for me the first time I saw her. It was at a Bobby Poe radio convention. And I had Donna Jean, good old Donna Jean, sitting on my lap. And this woman walked in the room, and I about threw this girl, Donna Jean, on the floor to run over and find out who the hell she was. We told this story before, you know, that I pursued Frieda. And she said, I just want to be friends. And I said, I've got plenty of friends. You know, call me when you don't want to be just friends. And it only took her a couple of weeks. And I've got some stuff that I wanted to share with you. Like, God, I saved every card, you know, and she saved every card. That's the way we were. I've got so much to tell you about her. Here's the first card that she gave me. It's a picture of a cat. It says, I'm up to my neck in love with you. It says, actually, I'm totally filled up with love for you. You make me so happy. Will you be mine forever? That's 25 years old. Here's one for Father's Day. Blah, blah. All the stuff, all the Hallmark stuff. I am so proud of you. You are my strength. You are my life. You are a great father. You are the only man for me. I love you eternally. Frieda. Here's another one. I don't even know what this one's for. This is, I don't know. It was just, we had had bad ratings, I don't know, 8 or 9 months ago. She's wrote me, love is sticking together through those times when you're short on money, patience, and confidence. It's sacrificing something you want for something the family needs and always being willing to listen. You are my best friend. No matter what life hands us, I can handle it as long as I have you. How can I not love you? You are my life. And I, in turn, wrote equally romantic notes to her. We were more than lovers, friends. We were soulmates. We truly were. She thought like I did, and I thought like she did. I loved her because she had balls, and she loved me because I had balls. And she stood behind me every step of the way. When I first met Frida, I was working as a top 40 disc jockey at WPGC. And as we dated and we married, I would outline whatever dream it was that I would have to work at this station or do this shift or do that shift or make this amount of money or do get this rating. And always, without fail, she would always say, you can do anything. And we did. We did most everything. She, as far as doing this radio show, this is what I'm going to miss besides having her on the air. I'm going to miss the support of my best friend. Because an awful lot of times, you know, this is the Don and Mike show, and I'm blessed that I am surrounded by such talented, fantastically talented people. And I mean them no disrespect there. I'm lucky to have such a great crew. But I run the show, and I think up the things that we do on the show. And I can't tell you the amount of times that we would have a show, and I would tell Frida in the morning, hey, I've got an idea, you know, I got an idea for a game, I've got an idea for a call, and I've got an idea for a setup for Mike, I've got an idea for to send you out, I've got an idea for this, I've got an idea for that. And it would go through flawlessly. And everybody would say to Mike, or Rob, or the Buzz, or Bethany, wow, great bit. Nobody ever said it to me because they, you know, they thought I didn't need it because I have this aura about me, this false self, false sense of confidence because I am at my core insecure. Who isn't? And on those days when we would just nail something, and I would be driving home thinking about the show, I can't tell you how many times I've come through the door and she would say, who's the effing man? You are. Nobody knows what you do. She always did. When we would take live phone calls, when the show would go in a direction that was unexpected, and I was able to orchestrate us through it, along with everybody else's help, it wouldn't be unusual. I'd get a call, and she'd just say to me, you are really being Peyton Manning today. Because she knew how much I love football. And if you don't know Peyton Manning, he's the guy that runs the whole offense for the Indianapolis Colts. It doesn't matter. It was her way of letting me know that she knew what I was doing. And it picked me up on more than one occasion. She was the perfect wife. We had ups and we had downs, but we were perfect together. On the day that Frida died, on that Sunday, I had left Ocean City in the morning with the dogs in the truck to get back home because we would have to come back to work the next day. And she was going to take a couple extra days and just chill out without the dogs and without family. And I had gotten home and had a message from Buzz telling me about the passing of David Haynes. Now, this is before I had heard about Frida. So Buzz and I talked a little bit about David Haynes, burnt toast and coffee time. And Buzz said, how did your vacation go? And I said, we had a great vacation. It really is almost like Frieda knew that this was it. She must have, and we were an affectionate couple. Anybody that really knows us knows that, but she must have told me in the 2 weeks that we were off, maybe seven or eight times, just out of the blue, I am so happy to be married. And I told Buzz, I said, do you have any good stories? You know, we had a couple of arguments like we always do, but I had none of real consequence. The closest I had was, and I mentioned this to Buzz, on the day before Frieda died, we were on the beach in Ocean City, and she wanted to move closer to the water, which meant we'd move closer to people. And I liked our little isolated spot. And she said, well, listen, you know, Howard Hughes, too bad. We're going to move. So she picked up her chair and her blanket, and she started to move. And I called out Tess, because if we're on a beach in Ocean City, where our show is heard, not that I'm freaking Johnny Carson, but you scream out the name Frieda, I guarantee a couple people on the beach are going to know who she is. So my code name, when I screamed for her, was Tess. You know, like in Ocean's 11. That movie we love so bad. So I scream, Tess! And she turns around and she says, leave me alone, Danny Ocean. Well, she walked a couple more feet away, got all the way down by the water, and she said, listen, Buster, we're sitting here. You sit here or go sit back there by yourself. We're sitting here. I'm sitting here. If you're sitting with me, that's fine. And I was pissed at her. I said, you are embarrassing me in a public place. And you're a last word freak. And everything's got to be your way. But I am crazy about you. And I'll do whatever you want. And that is what our relationship was really all about. She was an outstanding wife, the smartest person that I will ever meet, and a devoted mother. There are a lot of things that we didn't discuss on the show. They just weren't. They weren't right to discuss. They weren't public to discuss. But she would do anything for that kid of ours. Just like I would. But I can't say that I would 100% all the time, every time, like she would. Bart had the best of both worlds. A mom who was incredibly well-oriented with everything going on in the world, not afraid to experience new things, go new places, talk to new people, and a dad who was happy just being alone with my family. He had the best of both. My wife had such a full life. I'm so pleased that she was able to do so many of the things that she wanted to do during her life, with the people that she wanted to be with, and the places that she wanted to go, and the things that she wanted to try. There was nothing that she wouldn't do or that she wouldn't try. And I encouraged her to, and that's why our marriage worked. Because if she wanted to do something like go rock climbing in Africa, you're out of your mind. But baby, if you want to go ahead.